which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Roll call, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Dibdow?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Geez, having all these people out will be interesting. Okay, the next item on our agenda is special order of business. And Madam Manager, did you want to say anything at all before I get started?
I'll follow up after you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Hart. Perkinson.
Over there.
Over there.
Go over there.
We go out front.
Okay.
Well, I have a little bit of history here that I didn't know about Mr. Harnold. And John worked for the Alaska State Legislature as a legislative aide to Senator Vic Fisher and Representative Brian Rogers in 1979 and 1984. And he also was chief of staff to Representative John's son from 1985 to 1988. So he has particular skill sets on handling the legislative people on the Hill, for sure. John worked as a legal intern for the Civil Liberties Union in Boston, Massachusetts in 1989. In returning to Alaska, John served as legal intern, to Alaska Supreme Court Justice Warren Matthews, Anchorage, from 3-1-91 through 5-20-91. He then law clerked for Superior Court Judge Larry Weeks from Juneau from 9-1-91 until 1-93 approximately. John then started his career and has served 20 years with us in the law department at the city and borough of Juneau. So this is appreciation night for John. We already had one little appreciation night on Friday with a nice get together, and thank you to all of his years of service. And we're going to give him an award tonight from the CBJ, and he really got beautiful awards on Friday night with the sailboat picture and a couple of other pictures of the sailboat that just happened recently in his life out on the boat. So just beautiful pictures. We wanted to take a minute to recognize John, and I'm not going to take it out of case, John. I'll let you do it in case you drop it.
Wow. Really nice. I'm going to try to drop it.
It's pretty heavy, too. Let me read. So this is an award for John Hartle from the city and borough of Juneau. It says, John W. Hartle, city attorney, in grateful appreciation of 20 years of service to the municipality and your steadfast dedication to the citizens of the city and borough of Juneau, 1993 to 2013. So, John, we just want to say thank you very much for all of your steadfast duty to us and wish you luck in retirement years in the near future here.
Thanks very much. I don't have a big speech. Thank you, Merrill. I don't want to break this while I'm talking. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be part of such a great team. I think the city's wonderfully run organization. It's been a great opportunity for me. 20 years now, it went by like that approximately. And I won't list the mayors and managers and people I would say thank you to, or I'm going to make some terrible mistake and have to pay later. I will have to thank my wife in the front row and the city's unsung hero, Debbie Sin, my office manager, without whom I've been dead in the water many times over. Only she knows for sure. And our wonderful clerk, manager, it's just been great. Thanks very much.
All right, John.
Okay, yes. Doing good. Kim, we'll see you tomorrow, for example.
See you tomorrow with questions.
Deputy Mayor Randy.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Johan.
If anybody else online wishes to say anything, since you're not here, feel free to.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure.
Right.
John, you've proved that legislative aides can amount to something after all, because you've really shown the way. We appreciate so much all your years of work.
Thanks, Jesse.
There's a possibility for Mr. Keel in the future. That's what he's hoping for.
I can only dream of doing so well.
Good job. Thanks, John, very much. Okay, we need approval of minutes for the June 3rd regular assembly meeting, 2013-13. Are there any objections? Is there any corrections? Should have asked that first. Seeing none, hearing none, so approved. The June 6th, 2013 special assembly meeting, 2013-14. Are there any corrections? Any objections to their approval? Hearing, seeing none, so ordered. The June 10th, 2013 special assembly meeting, 2013-15. Any corrections? Wishes to adopt 2013-15. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing no objections. Thank you very much, assembly members. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Yes, please. I have a couple of changes. In your red folder, you will find serial number 2012-20 ASB. So please substitute that for the ordinance that we will be reviewing tonight. And also a change to the manager's recommendation for the noise, the ordinance relating to noise and amending the disturbing the peace. I recommend that after hearing public comment tonight, that this ordinance is referred to the Assembly Committee of the Whole. So I will repeat that again when we get to that, but just to let you know that there's a change in that.
All right. Thank you, Madam Manager. Public participation on non-agenda items now. We have three people signed up for non-agenda items. The first one is Joanne Lockwood, and then Sarah Mertz, and then Don Cusart. Ms. Lockwood.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Good evening.
Members. My name is Joanne Lockwood. I'm a 49-year resident of Juneau, and my address is P.O. Box 33134, Juneau, 99803. I'm here with regard to the BID 13151 downtown snow storage site facility, and my questions with regard to the lack of permittings, CBJ permits on that project. 2 months ago, I went into the Community Development Department and asked to see their records on file, the CBJ preliminary permits, which would be a building permit, land use, all the handful of permits that are required for me as in construction to have on any of my projects. There is nothing on file in Community Development on that project. And since then, I've requested information and more information. Mr. Hart from Community Development has been very gracious in trying to help me in this area. May 21st, I put in a request for public records, and the records in the packet that I gave you reveal that there are no permits on that project. The ones that they say were not required were the building permit, the development permit, the grading permit, conditional use permit. The one that was not even reviewed or did not go through the process is the one that I believe that the project needs to have on it, is the CSP, which is called the City-State Project Review, which when you turn your page past that to the page 4, on that permit, it's a City-State Project Land and Action Review application. There's a place under project numbers associated with the proposal for the capital improvement program number, which is, this is the permit that I believe that the capital improvement money needs to transfer to start that project in through the city. in a layman's area, I believe that that needs to happen. I have not been told in any way or manner or form that that's incorrect yet. And so, and then there's also one for the state project, which includes DNR, you know, multiple state agencies, DOT, which is listed in your in the letter that I submitted to you. With this, I believe that for me, this project would have been red tagged. It would have been ceased for any continuation and permits brought forward again in the proper manner. And where this comes into play is there's a list of 11 or 9 different areas that were skirted in this process in the letter that's presented to you. And I won't go into, this is just a brief, so I won't go into any of that. But if any community members would like a copy of my letter, I'll be happy to present it to you. What I'm asking the Assembly to do is it's my hope that the Assembly will take further action with authority to require this downtown snow storage site facility to comply completely with CBJ code law reviews and permitting procedures in order to place this project into its legal land use position at that site with all necessary backup files available to the public at the appropriate CBJ departments. I won't take up any more of your time. I'm hoping and that more action will be taken on this. I presented it to Ms. Kiefer and to the law department, and I hope that some action will be taken to bring this into compliance or let me know that the city doesn't have to follow its own code laws and permitting processes on these projects and how the transfer of money happens. So I appreciate your time on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Lockwood. Are there any questions for Ms. Lockwood? And down the line, anybody online wish to have a question for Ms. Lockwood?
None, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Hearing none, thank you, Ms. Lockwood, and we'll take this up at the end of the meeting.
I appreciate that, Mr. Mayor.
Sarah Mertz. Good evening, young lady. How are you?
Good. How are you? Hi, my name is Sarah Mertz, and I've been a swimmer on Glacier Swim Club for the last 8 years of my life. And so have a lot of the members out here dressed in GSC shirts tonight. We were told that Diamond Park Aquatic Center on Mondays would not affect kids when it would be closing early. And I want to say that that's not true. Closing the facility on Mondays will cut down every swimmer's opportunities to take sport and to take part in a sport that they love. Many kids only get to practice 2 or 3 days a week and look forward to every practice that they get to take part in. Closing the pool on Monday will cut down their practice time by a third or even half. This will be a big impact on the club. GSC takes pride in working as hard, or if not harder, than any club in the state. By closing the facility, that opportunity and pride will be taken from us. I know making cuts can't be an easy thing to do, but we would like to respectfully ask if this is really worth the $39,000 cut. There's a total of over 500 kids in the club and program combined that's in the city that will be negatively impacted by these cuts. We would like to ask if the best place to make a budget cut by reducing healthy opportunities for kids. And in front of you, there's a packet that has a letter written to the club and also signatures made by swimmers on the club that all agree with how this will impact our practice time and what impact it will have on our performance against other clubs that will be able to practice to their full potential. So, and I just like to say on behalf of Glacier Swim Club, thank you for your time, consideration, and service to the community.
Thank you, Ms. Mertz. Go ahead and stay here for a minute. See if we have any questions. Does anybody on the Assembly have any questions? Anybody online have any questions?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Sarah, I just have one, and that's has your senior leaders talked with Parks and Rec staff and to see what exactly is going to happen or not?
I'm not quite sure on that. I think we I We've been told that it's in the budget cuts for next year to cut the, like after 10 o'clock, the pool will be closing. And so that's all we've been told so far. And that we've been told that that's for sure.
Okay. And Madam Manager, if I could then, has there been any update on what we're going to do there at the pool? Is it still that way that we're going to cut some hours or not?
Want to address this now?
I want to just get that information out one way or the other.
Okay, so to my understanding, Parks and Recreation, the Parks and Rec Director will be negotiating with the Glacier Swim Club and the Aquatics Director on those changes. I do need to let you know that the information that I provided you was inaccurate, that the reduction that they are saying, then the impact to Glacier Swim Club, they will be impacted by 2.5 hours on Monday closures, as will the after-school program or the in-school program swim. The school district has said that they can adjust to the morning hours, not the afternoon hours. So we are moving forward. I'm moving forward to make sure that any information in the future I provide you is correct. And the Parks and Rec Director is working with the user groups to make sure that they come up with those hours. There are plans to be able to look at using at Augustus Brown to make up some swim time, as well as some additional hours on other days. But that needs to be negotiated with the swim club.
Madam Manager. And we'll take this up at the end of the meeting if we have any more questions. But thank you very much. Ms. Mertz, good report. Don Cousart? Concerts in the Park? Welcome.
Don Cousart, 425 Kennedy, where we just celebrated our centennial this last weekend, block party. I just wanted to, this lovely weather we've been having, just reminds me of how much I miss having the concerts in the park across the street. And most of you probably participated, I know, sometime, and it was just, the weather was always kind of iffy. Sometimes the entertainment wasn't all that great, but it was really a nice community gathering. And families, sometimes people made it up, especially when you get down there, the other time people stopped home. And tourists often, stop, listen to the music, and participate. And when we did have those lovely summer days that we've had the last couple of weekends, it was just fantastic with the eagles and the Mount Jumbo, the parasailers, and I'd often think this is just really something special. And so I miss that. I know they've tried to come up with some alternatives, and they're offering things at the Jack, but it's not the same setting in a building. On a nice summer evening. So I'd just like to encourage, and I don't know the history of who or why all this came to pass, that was torn out. To me, it's kind of an unfinished thing that I'd like to see something, be it temporary seating that could be taken in and out, or something creative, but just some way that we could make that a community asset again. Right now, I don't see that the community is getting a whole lot of use out of that spot. And that's just why I went.
Right. Mr. Cousart, thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. Cousart? Thank you very much. And we'll, if any assembly member will need to take it up, we'll take it up at the end of the under assembly comments and questions. All right. The next thing on our agenda is a manager's request for agenda changes.
We already did that.
Yeah, we consent agenda. Madam Manager, do you have any changes?
Just the ones I know.
Okay, thank you. Does the public request to have any consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? This is for the consent agenda. Seeing none, assembly request for consent agenda changes. Assembly action. Madam Deputy Mayor Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Everybody online hear us okay?
Yes. Very fine. Yep, just fine.
All right, that's three. Good job, you guys. Okay, so we move the consent agenda, and we'll move on to public hearing. And did we have a sign-up sheet back there for this or not? Or just because it was public hearing, it was open? See if there's any other names back there. Madam Manager, do you wait? Wait and do this in order. Getting ahead of myself. Or behind. And is this for the noise order? Yeah. Okay. Madam Clerk, could you read the title, please?
Ordinance 2013-14, an ordinance relating to noise and amending the Disturbing the Peace Code.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And Madam Manager, could you give us an update?
This ordinance would amend the Disturbing the Peace Code relating to noise. It is a subset of the noise ordinance, which would also make changes to the land use code and has been reviewed by the Planning Commission on several occasions. The Disturbing the Peace Code needs updating, and this ordinance would accomplish that. It clarifies the definitions of the Disturbing the Peace in other terms, clarifies the day, time, and nighttime hours for which deferring noise standards are included, and clarifies the standards for a construction noise permit for operating outside of the daytime hours set forth in the code. I recommend, after hearing public comment, referring this ordinance to the Committee of the Whole.
Thank you. So the manager's recommendation is to return this to the Committee of the Whole. And since tonight, this was public comment, open for public comment tonight, we're going to hear any public comment that we have. Anybody who wishes to make a comment on the noise ordinance will be able to tonight. If you so wish, we're not going to take any action on this. We're going to send it back to the Committee of the Whole, if the Assembly so votes that way, and let there be some more work done on it. It needs some more work. So can I have a show of hands of those people who wish to comment on the noise ordinance or Disturbing the Peace ordinance? One? Okay. George, do you want to come up and give your full name for me, and because I can't read the last name, even though I know you for years.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is George Uttermole. I reside at 1970 Glacier Avenue.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, as a member of the community, I strongly support and find that there's a benefit to the community for a sound noise ordinance and for a reasonable fireworks control ordinance. Having said that, I must respectfully request that you, in regard to the ordinance you have before you, 2013-14, the noise control ordinance, that you either defeat that ordinance this evening or send it back to committee for further review. I ask that because, having reviewed the bill, I see that there are internal inconsistencies within the bill which make it unenforceable and therefore not worth your action at this time. I say that because, and my remarks will be specifically to subsection A of the Disturbing the Peace Ordinance pages 1, 2, and 3 of the ordinance. The ordinance requires that in determining whether or not a disturbance of the peace exists, that the city shall consider certain standards in determining whether or not a violation of the disturbing the peace has occurred. The ordinance sets out a series of 7 standards that need to be considered in order for you to find a disturbance of the peace. Unfortunately, of those 7 standards, 5 of them do not have any substantive standards by which the particular action can be judged to be a violation or a disturbance of the peace. And that creates an internal consistency where the city is required to make determination for each of those factors. And in the lack of having substantive standards, the city is there's an impossibility created where the city cannot make those determinations because there are no standards. And therefore, if presented with a case where an enforcement officer, or if it ever gets to the court, the city will not be able to make a showing that those factors do not exist in the ordinance. And I'd recommend that the there are a number of provisions in this bill which I think could form a very reasonable noise control disturbing the peace ordinance. I'd like to highlight one which I think is worse than being nonsensical. On page 3, you've got under subsection F, a duration of noise. You've got some substantive standards contained in the ordinance, which don't necessarily seem to appear under this or be germane to the subject. But in regard to impulsive noises, it says that a impulsive sound occurring during the day fewer than 10 times shall not exceed 73 decibels. That implies that it's the ordinance would consider that to be a disturbance of the peace. However, you send an enforcement officer out there to listen to this sound. He hears a sound of 73 decibels during the daytime, exceeding 73 decibels during the daytime. He then has to sit and wait an hour and count the subsequent impulses to determine whether or not there are 10 or fewer impulses exceeding 73. If within 60 minutes he hears 11, he can go home or more because it's not covered. It's only illegal to have 10 or fewer. It's 11, 12, 100 impulsive sounds of any magnitude are not covered. It seems illogical that in this disturbing the peace ordinance that more noise is preferable to less noise, and I think that inconsistency needs to be addressed. Thank you for my opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Uttermole. Does anybody have any questions?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, just a comment. I'm wondering, thank you for that. Just wondering at the appropriate time, when the manager brings this back to us, if the assembly could have some background memo on the history of this ordinance, because it does have quite a history. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we will have not only the history, but an update on the decibels and all that stuff too, because they're not referenced here quite as well as what we could have. That's all part of this working in the committee of the whole in a work session to try to figure out for sure. Any other comments or questions online? I think Mr. Keogh, maybe.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Udemole, you're always better at writing these things than I've ever been at reading them. But I guess I didn't understand your interpretation of the 10 times an hour standard there. Is it your understanding that a more frequent noise, something that happens 15, 20 times an hour, is then somehow not subject to the 65 decibel total cap? I thought this was a higher noise limit for something that happened less often. But if it happens very frequently, it's subject to that lower noise limit on page 2, lines 8 through 11. Am I reading that wrong, George?
Assembly person, that's possible. But we've got conflicting provisions here. The baseline is, that 53 decibel noise limit, that's at nighttime. This provision I just spoke to is daytime. It appears to be no limit on noise during the day.
Make sure you highlight,
thank you.
Mr. Keogh, make sure you highlight that one and we'll work on it during a work session at the Committee of the Whole, okay? Any other comments from online? Questions?
Are you ready for a motion, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Dibdahl, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to move that we refer Ordinance 2013-14 to the Committee of the Whole.
Are there any objections? Hearing or seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. We'll move on to Ordinance 2012-20B.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $16,164 as funding for the Law Enforcement Liaison Program, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Alaska Highway Safety Office.
And to get the title correct, it's 2012-20ASB. Madam Manager, go ahead.
This grant has no match requirement. This program was created by the Alaska Highway Safety Office to increase and stimulate the planning and development of aggressive, highly visible state and local enforcement efforts in the area of impaired driving and seatbelt enforcement. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
And thank you, Madam Manager. Could you, for the people online, give whatever we changed and made it a B instead of...
Yes.
Change something in the ordinance?
In Section 2, the language was changed to be consistent with the ordinance title as well as the total source of funds.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Are there any questions on this? Questions of the Assembly? And is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Public. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Mr. Watermaker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to 2012-20.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll move on to Ordinance 2012-20AT. Madam Clerk?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $300,000 in additional funding for the Capitol City Fire Rescue. Funding provided by the general fund, fund balance of $300,000.
Thank you, Madam Manager.
Yes. So the Capitol City Fire Rescue FY13 general operations expenditures are within the approved budget. Two issues resulted in the needed supplemental. One, unanticipated ambulance revenue collection shortfall from prior and current years of $250,000, and two, replacing two rescue boats with the understanding that the cost would be eligible for federal Secure Rural Schools Title III funding of $50,000. Write-offs for uncontrolled billings have been growing during recent years, but the budgeted revenues have not been updated. The FY14 budget does provide for a reduction in revenues. We are still working with the Forest Service regarding potential reimbursement at this time. The decision provided to CBJ is that the boats do not qualify for reimbursement. This ordinance was introduced at the Special Assembly meeting on January 10, 2013. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak on this ordinance? And we'll move forward to Assembly action.
I move adoption of Ordinance 2012-20AT and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. The next item on the agenda tonight is unfinished business, and we'll move to the appeal of Use 2012-0019, the Dow appeal. Mr. Hartle, do you have some information for us at first, or Madam Manager?
I'll turn it over to the city attorney. Thank you.
I was getting ahead of you, too.
The appeals code allows the assembly itself, when it's serving as the appeal agency or a party to an appeal, like the Dows, to ask the assembly to reconsider its decision on appeal. That's CJ0150180. The Dows have done so. They sent an email asking the assembly to reconsider its decision, and so put it on the agenda. It's here before you. There's no provision in the code for further argument on it, or evidence or anything like that. If the assembly decides to reconsider, then you'll have to set a process to go through, and it may include more argument or another hearing. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Harrell. I just have one other clarification. We have Mr. Smith and Mr. Dibdahl. Any of the stuff in Mr. Smith has a conflict?
Yes, thank you. I recommend that both of them not participate
thank
in this.
You can sit right there, Mr. Smith. You don't have to get down. So those two guys will not be voting. So what's the wishes of the assembly? Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I have a question for the city attorney. If the assembly wishes to simply let the matter lie as it is, that is, does not wish to reconsider their vote, what is the appropriate action?
Mr. Wanamaker, an assembly member could make a motion to reconsider and ask for no vote. That would leave a clear record. Actually, a second way would be to move the day.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move orders of the day.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Then we'll move to a vote on orders of the day. Ms. Seacrest?
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Dibdahl?
He's excused.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Jones?
Roger.
Mr. Keogh?
No. I'm sorry. Did you get my vote?
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Go ahead and vote, Mr. Nankervis.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
4A.
So without a 5 vote, Mr. Hartle, orders of the day stand.
I need to think about it.
Okay.
It's only a procedural question, yes. We've moved to the next item.
So we just voted on orders of the day, though, right?
Yes.
And we didn't get 5 votes.
But it's a procedural question, and so it stands.
Okay.
We've done that in the past, where it's not official action of the assembly. It's just moving on to the next time.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to new business, which is the appeal, a new appeal for McNeil Incorporated. Madam Clerk?
An appeal of AME 2013-0007, Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment for Hansinger Pond, McNeil Incorporated. Appeal of a Planning Commission Notice of Decision regarding AME 2013-007 and application for Planning Commission recommendation to the City and Borough Assembly to amend the Comprehensive Plan Map G from resource development to mix of industrial, general, commercial, and resource development in the area of Hansinger Pond.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
Yes, on May 21st, 2013, the Planning Commission issued a final decision denying the Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment referenced above. The petitioner, David R. Boomer, representing Bicknell Incorporated, filed a timely notice of appeal of this decision with the Municipal Clerk's Office on Monday, June 10, 2013. The notice of appeal and the notice of decision are in your packet. The Assembly is the appeal agency for this appeal, and its actions throughout the appeal process are governed by CBJ 1.50, the CBJ Appeals Code. The following procedural issues should be decided. Will the Assembly accept the appeal? Will the Assembly hear the appeal itself or assign it to a hearing officer? If the Assembly hears the appeal itself, will the mayor preside or will he designate another member as presiding officer? This matter is before the Assembly sits in a quasi-judicial capacity. Accordingly, members should avoid discussing this case outside the hearing process.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Mr. Hartle, do you have anything else to add?
I do not. I don't see any reason not to accept the appeal.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for Mr. Hartle. I'm not proposing any action. My question is this. Mr. Hartle, if the Assembly declines to hear the appeal to accept it, does that leave the party with an option to pursue it through some other means?
Thank you. The only means they could pursue it then would be in the Superior Court to appeal the decision of the Planning Commission or the Assembly.
Any other questions? I'm sorry.
One more comment. It was actually a close question as to whether this was it was appealable, but I'm recommending that the appeal be accepted because the Assembly recently changed the code to allow denials of rezonings to be appealable. And as we know, a rezoning has to be consistent with these maps. And the landowner applied for a map amendment. They've gone through the process for a map amendment. They would be in catch 22 where they could appeal something that came from this but not appeal this. So with a close question, my recommendation is to let the appellants appeal, let the deciders decide.
Thank you, Mr. Hartle. Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My follow-up to that then is this. In this particular case, if the Assembly accepts the appeal and decides to hear it itself, is the correct term to appoint a hearing officer or a presiding officer?
It would be a presiding officer. Hearing officer would be an outside. Yep.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Wanamaker, we have other questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Since this is a procedural question, I'd like to ask Mr. Hartle, I have a potential conflict with this. Would I abstain from this vote on a procedural matter?
Mr. Mayor, through the chair, yes, if you do have a conflict, you might want to say in one sentence what the conflict is, and then if so, I recommend that you not participate.
Mr. Smith?
I have a potential conflict involving one of the parties that may involve compensation at some future date.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Hartle?
I recommend that he step down and not participate in this.
Thank you, Mr. Hartle. You may step down, Mr. Smith. And if you want to just push back there, you're fine.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There was some squawking on the line here. I guess I wanted to hear just a little more clearly from the attorney, if I might. Certainly, taking up the appeal strikes me as the fair thing to do. Mr. Attorney, if I could get your nutshell version, under the code, under the ordinances, is your legal opinion that this is an appealable question?
Mr. Hartle?
It is. For the reasons I outlined, of course, the parties to the appeal could argue to the Assembly that, you know, the body shouldn't have accepted the appeal. They'll get an opportunity to brief that if they feel it's appropriate.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly accept the appeal, that the Assembly hear the appeal itself, and I request that the mayor serve as the presiding officer.
Is there anybody else who wishes to do it? If there isn't, I will be glad to do it. But
I would if you didn't.
Ms. Becker will be happy to do it, and Ms. Becker serve as the presiding officer.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Becker. Is there any objections to any of Ms. Karen? Thank you, Ms. Green. Roll call vote. Mr. Smith will not be voting.
Ms. Becker?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Dipto?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries 6 too.
Thank you. And Mr. Attorney, get with your sub-field attorney and make sure everybody's up to speed and get this one moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or comments on this one? Seeing none. Staff reports on we'll wait a couple of minutes here. Does anybody else have to go to the bathroom or anything? Do you want to take a 2 or 3 minute break here while people leave?
You are listening to KTOO. This is the monthly meeting, the CBJ assembly meeting. I can give you an update on the weather. They're taking a couple-minute break. Looks like we have a slight chance of thunderstorms tonight. Isolated showers late, lows around 54, and partly cloudy tomorrow. Isolated showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 77. Tuesday night, scattered showers, lows around 54. Southwest winds 5 miles per hour, shifting to the east late. And Wednesday, cooler, chance of rain, highs around 65.
Are we on break, Mr. Mayor?
No, we're not really on break, Mr. Dibdaw. We were just waiting for the chambers to clear.
We have a couple minutes here. I'm going to put the music on, and we'll be back with the CBJ meeting in just a minute.
You're breaking up, Mr. Dibdaw. All right, we'll move on to staff reports, and we'll first have CBJ regular municipal election timeline information. Madam Manager?
And I will turn it over to our city clerk.
Ms. Sika, I don't believe that we're here already. Go ahead.
I know. I can't believe we're here either. And, well, this is the memo I send out in January, but I just put it in your packet as a reminder that if there's any questions that you have or any desire to ask the public, now's the time to think about them and put them in the form of an ordinance to place it on the ballot. And then also the candidate nomination petitions are available now for people who would like to consider running for office. You can look on the website and come into our office if you have any questions about running for office.
So if all of you have seen the quick reference breakdown for all the different dates and things that we have to abide by, Ms. Sika has provided us with that in a couple of page email on what the procedure, proper procedures are to follow in all those different things. So if you need or want to do any of those things in a timely fashion, go come in and talk with Ms. Sika, and she can really give you the exact dates and numbers and times of where you have to meet those different situations. Any questions, comments? Mr. Wanamaker.
Yeah, thank you. A question for the clerk. Madam Clerk, several years ago, the Assembly adopted a new provision that allows for voting by mail, yet we've never exercised it. And after thinking about it, I supported adopting it, because it sounded like it could really be viable for Juneau and help increase voter participation. Do you have any thoughts on it and what it would take and whether you still think it's a viable option for the Assembly to use, or what are your current thoughts about it now?
Well, a voting by mail election would be all by mail ballots. It would be similar to having an absentee ballot sent to you by mail, but ballots would be mailed to each individual voter that's registered in city and borough of Juneau. And also it would be different than not, it would not have a polling place election. It would be an all by mail election. And so it's definitely something to think about. I was really interested at the time when we adopted it in the code, and since then I've had some second thoughts about pursuing it further, just because it hasn't been done at the state level, and I kind of like to follow the state's procedure since they're experts in elections. That's what they do, the Division of Elections. And so I I tend to prefer to like to follow their lead. But if that's something that's of interest to the Assembly, I'm willing to look into it further.
The follow-up question then, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The follow-up question, in order to participate or to conduct a vote by mail election, what would the Assembly have to do? Would we have to pass a motion up here directing you to set it up that way for the coming election year? And what type of timeline would you need?
I don't think it would be able to do it this year because there would be a lot of procedures we'd have to come up with, and all those procedures would have to be submitted to the Department of Justice for preclearance, and that requires a 60-day review after adoption, and so that timeline probably would not be met this year. It would be something that we could take a look at for subsequent years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. So it's probably going to be a year-long process to set it up and get it so that it'll work properly for us if we want to go that route.
Oh, well, yeah, there is a matter of budgeting for that.
Do we have an estimate on budgeting? I mean, do we?
Not at this time. I wouldn't want to put out a number without looking into it further.
That would be an interesting part of the debate up front. You know, what the costs may be and everything. So, Madam Manager.
We can bring something back for the Assembly to look at what the cost is, what the timeline would be, what needs to be done, so that you can decide if you want to look at it for future years, that you have an understanding of what all those pieces are.
Yep, I think if that's okay with the other Assembly members, we'll go at least that far. See, Mr. Wanamaker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would appreciate that. And I think it's worth discussion, but rather than just have it be me requesting it, I would feel better if we did a straw poll of the Assembly to see if this is something they're interested in learning more about. We're not going to do it right now, but we learn more about it, and this is something they want to learn more about.
Is there any objections to that on the Assembly, that we actually go that route and see what it's all about, what it's going to cost, how long it will take us to do that? I see no objections, so we would be interested in seeing that type of information if we could, Madam Manager. Thank you very much. And we'll move on to committee reports.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, looking at that timeline, like October 14th might maybe my last Assembly meeting. And I just want to encourage a lot more people to consider running for the Assembly, and in particular, a lot more younger people who have a longer stake in the future of Juneau. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Ooh, that's a different feedback. Thank you very much, Mr. Dibdahl. We'll take that all into consideration, and hopefully we get a bunch of people who wish to run for the Assembly. Okay, we'll move on to committee reports. Ms. Becker, you're first up.
Thank you. I believe that perhaps the Assembly may know this, but at our last ad hoc meeting, we decided to take all of the work from that ad hoc housing committee and put it back into the Committee of the Whole, which is where the committee's is from anyway. So at our July 1 meeting, we will have the matrix that we worked on that's been refined a bit, giving some direction on who's going to really take charge of it and when they're going to do it. And that matrix will be given to all of us, and we'll start working on it. We have two issues that are in law. One is the subdivision, and the other is the deferral of taxes, and I'm not positive when they're going to get to us, but I know they're being worked on. So we're going to be back together starting Monday. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chairman of the Ad Hoc Committee, and I just want to say thank you to the Ad Hoc Committee who worked diligently to get us to the position that we're at, and what's going to happen forward here with the Committee of the Whole handling the matrix is we as the assembly as a whole will be able to look at those items and with staff's recommendations and input assign the different numbered situations to our committees and to our chairmen of those different committees. If it needs to go to finance, we'll assign it to Ms. Crane, lands and public works to the appropriate chairmen, to COW to the appropriate chairman. So we'll break down the matrix a little bit more than what it is. And there are some things on the matrix that don't need to go anywhere else. And that will be part of the report that we're doing at staff level. Rob's writing up a letter to explain where we're at with the matrix and some of the different items that are on the list that we can't do anything about one way, either due to state laws or federal laws or our own laws for that matter. So we'll be taking all that into consideration at the Committee of the Whole. And I just want to say thank you very much to the ad hoc committee who did and put in a lot of hours and got a lot of good information for us to carry forward on. So thank you very much.
And thank you to staff, too. There's a lot of hours involved in getting this information to us, and to Lori, who set up a website. So a lot of work went into it, and we'll continue to go into it. So.
Yep. We've just begun to fight, as Don Henry said. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works Committee will meet on July 1 at noon here in the chambers.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Crane?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I chaired the Human Resources Committee meeting this evening since Mr. Keel is out of town. And this evening we took up nominations to the Aquatic Facilities Advisory Board and recommend that Michelle Ums be appointed to the board for a term ending 6/30/2016.
Are there any objections to that recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. You guys online, if you have any objections or anything, make sure you holler at us.
And I would point out that there is, for the public, there is still one public seat vacant on that board. We also took up the Historic Resources Advisory Committee and are recommending the appointment of Mark Sowers to the committee for a term ending 6/30/2016.
Are there any objections to that recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered.
There is also one public seat still vacant for that board. We also took up appointment to the Juneau Commission on Aging and are recommending appointment of Clifford Cole for a public seat for a member age 65 or older for a term ending 6/30/2016.
Are there any objections to that recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered.
And there is also one seat remaining vacant on that commission for a member who would be age 55 or older. We also received the annual report from the Commission on Aging and had several members from the commission here to add to the report. So we appreciated hearing that this evening.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. And you have nothing from finance?
No, we are going to start probably maybe August. We're still debating dates, but August or September, and we will start having a monthly finance committee meeting.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Crane. Move on to Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Committee met within the last week, and Mr. Cheney offered us an agenda with four informational items. And among those items was, again, the matrix that identified those parcels held by the CBJ that could be nominated as development parcels for multifamily. And he did ask for further guidance on the specific disposal of the site adjacent to Tahini Middle School. And he will come back to the committee with a recommendation on specifics as how this parcel will be disposed of by the CBJ. And then, of course, it will go onto the assembly for action. What's significant about this particular parcel, it will be the first in this to get multifamily property out into the hands of developers. And this one was nominated in particular because it is situated on a right-of-way, whereas most of the majority, well, the majority of CBJ lands are located far from the right-of-way. So we have to build roads to get to them, and we know that's very expensive. So our next meeting will be in early July. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, appreciate it. We'll go right on into liaison reports, and Mr. Jones, we'll start with you.
Nothing tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Nankervis, do you have anything?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, sorry about that. I was at the airport board meeting on Wednesday, June 12th. I believe this was Patty Delabriere's first meeting as the airport manager. Things look good. They passed their budget. They ended up, as we know, modifying their rates a little bit, mostly having to do with the fuel flowage fees. And they approved their budget. And they are still looking for a concessionaire in the restaurant section. They're also looking at the possibilities of what to do with the liquor license in the building as well. And then they had somebody come in, I'm not sure who it was, an auditor or surveyor or somebody, that came in and said that the airport runway is starting to degrade, and that will probably be the next major project we have on the horizon at the airport. That's it for the airport board. For the Juneau Commission on Sustainability, they're still working on the energy plan, and they have also decided to enter a vehicle or a float, I'm not sure what you call it, it will be a vehicle, in the 4th of July parade. Electric vehicle. And that's all I have for them. The Parks and Rec hasn't met yet.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. We'll move on to Mr. Smith. Do you have any liaison reports for us?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Friday morning is the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau membership meeting. I will be the speaker at that meeting, breakfast meeting at 8:30 at the Baranoff. And with the manager's help, the topic will be the 9 or 10 items that the CBJ is doing that will have a positive impact on the visitor industry here in Juneau. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Dibdahl, do you have anything from liaison reports?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Ms. Crane?
Bartlett board meets tomorrow night.
Thank you. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission will meet on July 2nd. I wonder if I might go back under committee reports and just wrap up with our ad hoc on the city attorney vacancy upcoming.
Yes, and we're going to talk about dates and how long and start time and acting or not.
Would this be an appropriate time, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, it would be, and we'll leave the questions to executive session.
Oh, okay, if needed.
The question,
Mayor,
Mr. Keel, just a
yes,
second
sir.
Here. The questions that we're going to ask of the in the interviews to the four or to the people that we're going to interview is what we'll bring up during executive session. The other things we can probably handle right here without any problem in open session. Thank you, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The ad hoc committee on city attorney hire did meet this just over a week ago, Saturday. And having reviewed the applications, we recommend that the full assembly interview four people, four applicants, for the position of city attorney. In alphabetical order, they are Karen L. Jennings, Amy Mead, Deborah O'Gara, and Jane Siebens.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. And is there any objections to that list coming forward for interviews for city attorney? Any questions about that list? Anybody online have any questions or comments?
No questions.
Thank you all very much. If there's no objections, we'll move those four forward to be interviewed by the assembly. Mr. Keel, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And in anticipation that that while we're going to move as quickly as we can, we are unlikely to have a decision made before Mr. Hartle leaves just a week or so away here. I recommend that we follow what has been the CBJ's standard operating procedure, and until the vacancy is filled with a permanent city attorney by action of the assembly, that we, just as we have in the past with the city manager and other positions, that we appoint the deputy city attorney to serve as acting, so that there's somebody to take that call in the middle of the night. And I don't want to give anybody the impression that this is a leg up or a signal, but this has been the CBJ's standard procedure to elevate the deputy to acting status while a full hire is being considered. So I would so move.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Are there any objections or questions to that? Seeing or hearing none, so ordered. Date, Mr. Keel?
Mr. Mayor, I have a date for our interviews. I'm hoping that at the earliest possible date that all assembly members can interview the four applicants, that we schedule that. And I'm happy to work with you on scheduling that. Or did you need a date for the start of the acting city attorney position?
Thank you, Mr. Keel, and we've got some information on that tonight from Mila, and she will update us and see if we can make a decision here tonight.
Mr. Mayor, if I might, the city clerk's office helped me take a look at all of your various schedules, and we have four dates that have been identified as possibilities. The first date is actually the end of this week, Friday, June 28th. There is, I believe, at least one assembly member who will be out of town on that date or unavailable, so that may not be the best choice. The next available date when everyone will be present is July 5th, Friday, July 5th. I have checked with all four candidates. All four candidates are also available and looking forward on either date, actually, to making themselves available. After that point, we're looking at, I believe, July 18th and 19th.
All right.
I also took the liberty of checking Department of Law staff calendar, because I know you had expressed an interest in wanting them to meet with staff as well, just to see the law department operations, and both dates are operable. The 28th and the 5th are operable for them as right. well.
So what's the wishes of the assembly? Ms. Crane?
Well, if we can all be here on July 5th, that seems the best date.
Is anybody on the assembly not going to be able to be here on the 5th of July?
I will not.
You're out of town? Are you on the schedule that way? Do you know, Mr.? Anybody else on the 5th? Are you going to be in a place where you can call in?
I'm going to ask. At one time, I was going to be gone on the 28th. I'm not.
Oh.
So if I'm the one.
You are the one.
Well,
as far as I know.
Mr. Wanamaker?
I'm not going to be gone.
I would suggest that if we're all available on the 28th, that we do it on the 28th. I believe it's important that all nine of us be physically present.
It is important, Mr. Wanamaker. It's also important that we get it done in as expeditious a manner as we can and make a good decision, for sure. Is anybody on the 28th of June not going to be here? Is there any objections that we hold it on the 28th of June, the interviews? Seeing none, so ordered. Now we need to do times. Ms. Cosgrove, if you want to give us a little bit of stuff on times.
I did take the liberty of drafting a potential schedule, obviously subject to your review. Assuming for an interview process, my recommendation is that you leave an hour and a half. You'll want to ask the candidates questions, and the candidates also need the opportunity to talk with you about the position and have their questions answered. If you start at approximately 8:30, that allows you to fit in all four candidates over the course of the day with a period of time for lunch, and then about an hour plus at the end of the day for your own deliberations to review the interviews and make a determination about who you'd like to move forward in the process. And if you want a specific schedule, I've kind of drafted one up. I don't know if you want that much detail at this point.
So the recommendation is to do an hour and a half worth of interviews for each candidate. Does anybody have any necessarily I myself think we can do it probably in an hour, but for each candidate. But does anybody else have any concerns or thoughts on that, Mr. Smith?
That would be about the maximum I could do in a full day, would be 4 hours.
Mr. Mayor.
Take the whole day. It's not possible for me.
Thank you. Mr. Dibdahl?
In an hour, they could be my personal friend.
Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Keel.
My recollection is that we held one-hour interviews with city manager candidates, and that I would suggest we do the same here. And I have another question when we dispense with the time.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Are there any objections to one-hour time frames and then whatever we have to do at the end? Hearing none, we'll settle on 1 hour. Mr. Mitt?
May I ask if you'd like a break between candidates so I can get the schedule arranged, and what time would you like to start so I can make travel arrangements for the out-of-town candidate?
Okay. We had a start time of 8:30 in the morning. Does anybody want to do this, like, from 11 till X amount, or start at 8:30? We're starting at 8:30. How much time in between candidates? 15 minutes, 20 minutes? 15 minutes between. You need anything else, Ms. Cosgrove?
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Are there any objections to doing it that way, in that format? Hearing none, so ordered.
What will be the starting time then?
8:30, Mr. Dibdahl. It's a fishing time.
About 4 hours late with the daylight now.
You're right, Mr. Dibdahl. Start time, we've got that. We've got acting. We've got questions. And you have something for us, Mr. Keel?
Only that it was the recommendation of the subcommittee that we ask each of the applicants for a brief legal writing sample. If we're interviewing roughly 4 days from today, I would hope that we could get those brief legal writing samples as quickly as possible.
Ms. Cosgrove?
Mr. Keel, I have them available this evening.
Man,
and I will send yours out electronically tomorrow morning.
Any questions, comments? Okay, I think that we've answered all of those questions for the attorney setup, and we'll look at the questions during executive session. Assembly comments and questions. We had three topics on the agenda. Madam Manager, could you? Mm-hmm. Madam Manager. Pretty you already, right here. The snow removal equipment building, or excuse me, the snow dump site. Do we need or want to do anything about the snow dump site, or do we want to carry forward with basically the direction we've been going in? Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering if management could give us some information about their understanding of just where we are here. It seems like asking them to follow up on this may be premature, and okay. It may not be necessary at all.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Madam Manager.
Yes, as you may recall, Rory Watt provided an overview of the snow storage and all the issues with the snow storage. He addressed the CSP and identified that when he had put that project together, he was looking at trying to create that project so it was less than 1 acre, which would not require the CSP. And he walked through basically all the components of that process. He did say that in hindsight, he would have brought it back for a CSP if he had to do it over again. He also said that he would be meeting with his staff and with CDD staff to look at changes to make it much more clear what the expectation was for CSP. I'm happy to report that he has already started those meetings. He had a very good meeting with his staff to identify items that need to be changed for the future. He will be meeting with the CDD staff to be doing the same thing so that we'll have a clearer process on when we need to bring city projects through that process, because it isn't totally clear at this point.
Ms. Gray?
My concern here is just that there's really been no time for public comment on this project, unless I'm mistaken. And it seems to me like this kind of project should have at some point come before the public in some manner, whether it was the through the Planning Commission or what. But has there been any public comment available on this project at all?
The only time that I think there was public comment is when it was included in the capital improvement project, and so that would have gone through the Public Works and Facilities Committee and then on to the Assembly as projects that we were moving forward. This project wasn't specifically outlined in snow storage because we've been working both at the Thane Snow Storage site as well as the site at Mendenhall Glacier, working with the Forest Service on that.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My suggestion for the Assembly then is this, that we request staff to give us an update at our next Committee of the Whole, which I believe is very soon. Just give us an update on this and specifically address the concerns that were raised tonight, and then tell us what they intend to do if there are any issues that they think they should address. And we can then perhaps, as the Committee of the Whole, give some guidance to the staff about any follow-ups that we think may be necessary at that time.
Does anyone else on the Assembly have any objections to that? Hearing none. Do you have enough information? And I think you were already following up on a couple of other things too, Madam Manager. So
I am following up with Department of Natural Resources, so I have a clear understanding, and that was what I spoke with the Lockwoods when I met with them, so that we have some clear direction from the Department of Natural Resources on what we can and cannot do on mining sites.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then the next item was the Diamond Pool Monday closure. I would just recommend that staff get together with the Diamond, with the swim club, and make sure they understand completely where we're at with what we're doing there, because it's changed from what we were doing in the budget a little bit, or more, or a lot even, and it would be good that they have a straight scoop on what it is. And I think if it's okay with the Assembly, I think the next one, Concerts in the Park, is another one to have somebody in Parks and Rec contact Mr. Cusart and explain to him where we're at with what we're doing there, because we're in the middle of getting to a project there, but it's going to be probably next year before we get to that point. And in the meantime, probably Concert in the Park is not going to be able to be facilitated there, and the Jack people wanted it to go down there right now, so it's just more, it was better for them down at their site. Madam Manager?
Just to add to that, the reason that the hills were taken away was a safety concern for things that were going on in Marine Park area itself. It's a transitional area, as the mayor has outlined. There will be long-term plans on making some changes at Marine Park as part of 16B and the Seawalk and that whole project. But the immediate removing of those hills that also provided nice seating on the inside was so that as patrol officers could drive by, they could actually see what was going on. They weren't able to do that with the hills that were in place before.
Any other questions or comments on those two items? So we've given directions to staff to meet with those people and give them an update and briefing on where we're at with everything. Presiding officer reports. We don't have any ongoing presiding officers right now, but we're going to have. Ms. Becker, you have a report yet?
I believe that we've resolved everything, yes. To John Hartle's satisfaction. He'll tell you all about it.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Assembly comments and questions. Mr. Jones?
I just had one, and after sort of the serious discussions tonight, this may seem rather picky, but we voted on the consent agenda on three resolutions tonight that the manager's report stated that Public Works had reviewed those on May 30th. And I understand that I have some responsibility to sort of be a little bit more clear on finding out information if I don't attend those committee meetings. But we also ask the public if they want any items to be pulled off the agenda, and those resolutions could have been pulled off the agenda. But there are no minutes from the May 30 Public Works Committee posted online yet. So nobody from the public could go and review those minutes to see what the issues were, to see what the discussion was, to find out anything. I could have come in and listened to the tapes, but I don't know if the general public would do that. And so I might request that if, in fact, a month after a committee meets and we're going to take action on something they took action on, that we should have copies of the minutes available to us, at least, and hopefully the public. I don't know who's responsible for that, but I just it would have helped me tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there online. The last public minutes for Public Works is April 28th or something.
And I think this is the second time in the last couple months that this issue has come up with
not having Planning Commission is one that's
backup minutes. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, Madam Manager, you were going to look into it and just see what the policies were, maybe if they're all the same for all the different standing committees on how fast they get their minutes completed and what the time frames are. I think you can hear some of the concerns of the assembly members that they might want to see this rotated out a little bit faster. And I know some of it has to do with budgeting and assignments to private people who are doing the minutes. I don't know if you have an update for us tonight, but if you don't, if we could get one for us.
I do on the Planning Commission. We did have problems with that. It is a contractor, and Mr. Steedle worked with the Community Development Director to get Planning Commission minutes posted much quicker than they have been in the past. I have not gone back to check to see that indeed has happened. I'm not clear why those Public Works and Facilities Committee minutes aren't there, because that's done in-house with current staff. So I will definitely follow up on that, and I will talk to all the liaisons for the assembly committees to make sure that they get those minutes posted as quickly as possible, knowing that they will be draft minutes until the committees can do the full review and approve them.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments or questions on that? Thank you, Mr. Jones. Anything else?
No.
Mr. Nankervis, anything for questions? Comments?
No, thank you.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do not have a comment, but I do have a question. I was not able to schedule attendance at the ceremony for the extension of Glacier Highway, and I was wondering if those that did have a chance to schedule could comment at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. We will when it gets down to this end here. Thank you. Mr. Dibdahl, anything?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing this evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I join in Mr. Cousard's interest in how the plans are coming together for Marine Park. I know that I've had some conversations, it's been some months ago now, with Parks and Rec about the shape of a public planning process for what Marine Park will look like as we go forward, and I'll be interested to hear more about how that comes together. I wanted to highlight something that we heard at the Human Resources Committee meeting tonight. There is a significant group of community organizations, our Commission on Aging, the Community Foundation, Senior Citizen Support Services, JEDC, they're putting together a public meeting about assisted living for senior citizens in Juneau. It's actually this Wednesday, June 26th. It's at 6:30 p.m. at the Nugget Mall, and it's an important topic. It's a fast-growing demographic of older senior citizens who really some of whom are coming to a point where they can't live independently in their own homes and are looking for assisted living. They don't have the type of advanced dementia or Alzheimer's that gets a bed in the Pioneers home these days. And it's a real gap in our community. So I encourage everyone who can attend to be at that meeting. Then my only other comment is to go back and echo what I said at the very beginning of the meeting, and to express my really strong, heartfelt thanks to John Hartle for many years of work and for a lot of really remarkable thinking. The best lawyers are good thinkers in addition to good writers, and every time I have crossed paths with John Hartle doing work for Juno, he just is a remarkable thinker, and it has paid dividends for our community. So I can't say enough to thank him for those years. That's all from me, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Appreciate it. Mr. Wanamaker?
No comments tonight. Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to echo what Jesse said. I have had many opportunities to question and speak with Mr. Hartle, and he's patient, very willing to go ahead and do the research to answer questions, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the time I've had with you on this. Do you want to tell about the...
Oh,
yes,
go ahead.
You can tell about it.
Go ahead.
Well, the dedication today of the road Echo Cove to Cascade Point was very nice. The governor was there, the commissioner of transportation, and deputy commissioner, Gold Belt representatives, and the three of us. Yes, yes, and...
And Mr. Nankervis out on the water.
And that's right, and Mr. Nankervis. And it was very nice. There were remarks given, and the ribbon was cut, and we had a huge crowd of horse flies. but other than that, it was a great event, and they had even arranged for a bus to take us out, because it is a long ways, so it's quite dusty. And so we went out by bus, and that was very nice. Some of us did anyway. So it was great.
All right. Anything else, Ms. Beck?
Oh, I just could say that I did go to a barbecue with our Alaska Builders Association, and the state president spoke. And it was really nice because I got to just have social time with some of our members in that organization. And the president of the state spoke about a convention that they're going to have. And he was very interesting. And I did speak to the League of Women Voters, and that was very interesting, too. They have lots of questions. And we had a real fun discussion, as they said. They really enjoyed it. And so that's it.
All right. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Becker. Just two things. Last month or the month before, I asked about doing part of the hosting of the North Pacific Council that was here. And we did that, and Mr. Becker raised a lot more money than we thought. So all's well on that hosting situation is $250, not $600 like it was at that time. So if I could get approval from the assembly of paying that $250 bill at the hangar on the wharf, I would appreciate it.
So moved.
Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I couldn't hear.
Thank you. Mr. Keel, it was to move $250 to help pay for our part of the hosting of the North Pacific Council that met here last couple weeks ago. So it's $250 instead of $600.
Thank you. No objections from me.
Thank you. Anyone else online with an objection or not?
No objection.
Nope. So ordered. Thank you very much, everybody. The other thing that has come up and is coming due here towards the end of the month, at the end of the month, is the Tongass National Forest five-year plan update. They are seeking comments from communities and people, and I would like to write a letter from the assembly and the mayor in reference to some type of a LUD overlay on the Tongass to do our electrical and our mining possibilities. So instead of leaving those off the table, have an economic development LUD that would overlay the Tongass and let certain mining projects that are known be able to move forward after they meet all their permitting processes and everything. And the same thing for the electrical, hydropower, and other geothermal and tides and all that other stuff. They don't have a section in the Tongass National Forest Plan that addresses those things at this time. And so we would be encouraging, along with Tlingit-Haida Central Council, the mining organization within the state of Alaska, Southeast Conference, the Juneau Chamber, and there's a whole bunch of different people sponsoring letters to the Tongass, the forester, about those issues and trying to move them forward and get them in the plan for this current 5-year development. So if it's all right with the assembly as a whole, I'll draft up a letter and send it off to the ranger and let him know our stance on that. Are there any objections? Any comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Mr. Keel.
Thank you. It sounds intriguing. How would an overlay interact with the existing land use designations that are in the plan now?
It's just like they do now, Jesse or Mr. Keel. Each different concern has an overlay, and these would make priorities of economic development for mining and the economic development of our resources as far as hydropower and geothermal and tide power go. They don't address those things in the Tongass plan at this time. So it'd be real general in nature. Any other questions?
Well, it's interesting. I'm certainly no expert in federal land use planning. I'd be intrigued to know more about how that comes together.
I can send you all of those people's resolutions if you wish to see them.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll send them off tomorrow to you. Any other questions or comments? So I'll drop a letter and get this going before the end of the month. Thank you, everybody. That's all I have. Assembly comments or questions, we've completed that. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to address us on a non-agenda item? Seeing none, we'll move forward to executive session. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adjourn. Recess. Thank you. He's my person here. I move that we recess to executive session to discuss the city manager evaluation and questions and other actions concerning the hire of the city attorney, and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to that? And how are we going to facilitate the online people?
We need to end this call, and then I'll need to recall each one of you. I'll be calling your cell phones, and if I could just take a minute to make sure I can get the right number for you.
And we're going to stay here in this room?
If that's what you prefer.
Yes.
Okay. Johan, do you want me to call you at your cell?
Yes.
Okay.
This is KTLO Juneau. You've been listening to the City Assembly meeting. The City Assembly meeting is about to go into executive session, so this ends the public process for the Assembly meeting.